The second reading is from 1 John chapter 4. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, "I love God," and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel this eighth Sunday after Pentecost comes from the Gospel of Luke in the 10th chapter. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. But so likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" And he said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. This past week has been a challenging one for our country. Now, most of you I know have been following the news of recent incidents involving police and African Americans quite closely. I know for myself, when I heard the news of the first incident this past week, when an amateur recording of the shooting of Alton Sterling in Baton Rouge hit the news and the internet, I felt grief. I wish I could say that it would be the only incident in the news that would cause me and so many of us to feel grief. But then we learned about the shooting of Philando Castile, and then not long after, 5 Dallas police officers die, with several others injured, in a hail of gunfire as they were monitoring and protecting peaceful protesters from the Black Lives Matter movement. There are no words for the grief that so many in our nation feel for all these incidents. There are no words for the tension that has spread through our national conscience. Whenever we talk about race in America, it's a challenging conversation. It's easier to fall back on preconceived notions. It's easier to not bother to talk about it and to circle the wagons. But last year, after the shooting that occurred at Mother Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church, I told you that we couldn't ignore the challenges of racial tension in our world. So we need to talk. More than that, we need to listen. We need to hear the words of the gospel message that I believe so deeply informs how we are called to act toward our neighbor. So before we enter into this challenge more fully today, I feel I should lift up a couple of beliefs that I have regarding the recent shootings that have been on the news this past week. First, I fully believe that the officers involved in the shootings in Baton Rouge and Minnesota did not wake up that morning intending to shoot somebody. I also fully believe that they did not approach either Alton Sterling or Philando Castile with any intent to harm either individual. I also fully believe that the vast majority of people, including the leadership of the Black Lives Movement, intend all their protests to be entirely peaceful. I believe that those protesters who were in Dallas this past Thursday are mourning alongside the Dallas Police Department and so many in our nations for the death of Brent Thompson, Patrick Zamarripa, Michael Kroll, Michael Smith, and Lorne Ahrens. Their names matter. Who they are matters. I believe all these things, but still believing all these things, two African American men and five police officers are being mourned. It seems that something has gone horribly wrong in our world. It seems that we have forgotten how to love our neighbors. We hear the words of our gospel reading today, and I'll be honest, these words are familiar to us. We know this story well. We know the story by the title of Good Samaritan, but I wonder if Jesus would have agreed with a title like that. But when we do look at this parable, we recognize in the Samaritan qualities that the priest and the Levite apparently lack. The lawyer who thought he was testing Jesus, though it appears that it is actually Jesus who is doing the testing, recognizes one quality in the Samaritan that sets him apart. He showed mercy to the traveler who was beaten and robbed. Mercy. Despite the differences between himself and the man from Jerusalem, he shows mercy. And beyond that, I believe that the Samaritan man showed great courage as well. Quick poll. How many of you know what the road between Jerusalem and Jericho looks like? Anybody have a good idea? Well, it looks a little something like this. It's a rocky road. From the hills of Jerusalem to Jericho, there is a very steep elevation change as you move down in elevation to Jericho. In the time of the Roman occupation of Israel, the road between Jerusalem and Jericho is approximately 18 miles long. And the elevation changes over 3,000 feet as you descend to Jericho. It'd be a, good half-hour trip for us. But the road for those first century followers would be rocky and treacherous, and it was well known for bandits. After this man who was accosted by robbers in our parable today was left for dead, we know what comes next. We know that the priest and the Levite both pass by on the other side of the man. And it's not because they are heartless individuals. It's not because they don't want to help. No, I believe that they pass by on the other side primarily because they are afraid. They are afraid that the bandits are still nearby, waiting to ambush those who would help this man who lies bleeding along the road. And because they are afraid, they leave the man to die. Fear is a powerful motivator. Fear exists in us all. Now, I'm not sure about you, but I'm not sure I've spent a single day recently where I haven't been afraid of something. And let's be honest, our national news has a vested interest in making sure that we know what we need to be afraid of. Oftentimes, our local news does a good job of it as well. Now, when is the last time that the top story of the news wasn't something that was designed to make us feel just a little bit afraid? And because fear is such a powerful motivator, we keep watching just to find out what else we need to be afraid of. Now, I'll be the first to tell you, a little bit of fear can be a good thing. Fear keeps us alive. It's what keeps me from walking into the middle of traffic just assuming that cars will stop for me. It's what made our ancestors alert to the dangers of the world, which helped allow them to then survive so that we could eventually be sitting in these seats here on Sunday morning. But fear doesn't always lead us on the right path. In the midst of the tragedies and violence that we've experienced in our world recently, a number of my friends and acquaintances have drawn from an authoritative voice from their youth to help them draw strength and hope despite the tragedies in our world. For many of these people, this voice was the voice of Mr. Rogers, who for many of us was a good friend of ours as we grew up. Now, Fred Rogers told his viewers, "When I was a boy, I would see scary things in the news. My mother would then say to me, 'Look for the helpers. You will always find people who are helping.'" I believe that's true. I believe that's true. There are always helpers. There are always people like the Samaritan who choose to live life in hope and in courage, who choose to risk for the sake of healing. Now, I'm much like my friends who look to Mr. Rogers for words of wisdom in the midst of the chaos of our world, but I grew up listening to a different luminary. That's right. My wise man was none other than Yoda. And Yoda's wisdom, though different, I think really speaks to the events of this past week. And maybe we can hear his words of wisdom to help guide our path to a deeper understanding of our world, and perhaps guide us also to a path forward despite the chaos and fear that we enter into. You see, I learned from Yoda that fear leads to anger, and anger leads to hate, and hate leads to suffering. If I were to sum up the events of this past week, I can find no more accurate description for what we as a nation have experienced. Now, I've already told you, I believe that the police officers involved in the shootings of Alton Sterling and Philando Castile were not planning on opening fire when they arrived on the scene. But I also believe that they might have been just a little afraid. To be honest, I can't imagine being a police officer and not being afraid, at least not occasionally. You never know what you might encounter. Routine isn't always routine. And so I believe that those police officers were probably afraid. Maybe not of Mr. Sterling or Mr. Castillo necessarily, but they were afraid that something could go wrong. Maybe they were afraid of the possibility that one day they wouldn't make it home. And fear of the unknown possibility seems to have led to the needless death of two black men. The results of their fear led to anger. The righteous anger and grief of an African-American community across the nation as they rose up in primarily peaceful protests. Let's be honest, we've all heard this story too many times before. Our brothers and sisters have wept over their dead too many times to count. And so their anger gave way to a voice. And for at least one person, that anger morphed into something more. For at least one person, that anger wasn't just directed toward single incidents or a system. For one, that anger became an anger at the slow work of peaceful protests. That anger became anger that police, any police, didn't suffer the consequences the way the African American community has. And that anger turned to hatred. Hatred that resulted in a hail of bullets aimed primarily at police officers, but heedless of peaceful protesters. And because of that hatred, our nation has suffered. It seems it's always been that way. Fear and suffering all too often go hand in hand. Our world is really good at fear. But if there's one thing our gospel tells us today, it tells us that there is another way. We don't have to choose fear. We don't have to live our lives always for the sake of self-interest, because our lives have been given new meaning in the promise of Christ. The commandment to love God and love our neighbor doesn't receive an asterisk because we are afraid. No, our neighbor is the one who shows us mercy and the one who needs mercy. Our neighbor is the personification of the message that we are given in the letters of John this morning. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. We love because he first loved us. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I wish I could tell you that there would be no more needless deaths on the news. I wish I could tell you that our world was a safe and equal place for all our brothers and sisters. But it isn't true. But I can tell you that fear is no longer the answer. Fear does not give us the ability to understand our neighbor. But love can. Love, despite our pain, love, despite our fear, can change not just our hearts, but the hearts of those who we might consider our enemy. Perfect love casts out fear, because love gives us a chance to seek understanding, not isolation. And at the end of the day, I believe that we have a God who seeks to break down the barriers that isolate us from one another. I believe that we have a God who seeks to create a new thing in the midst of the grief that confronts our nation. And I believe that in the end, there are far more people who seek to love rather than to hate. And I believe that we are all guided by the source of love that still works toward reconciliation for all God's children. For we are all called to act courageously for the sake of mercy. May we all learn to go and do likewise, and may our lives ever be signs of the perfect love of Christ, a love that casts out all our fear for the sake of every neighbor. Amen.